Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear us scream and shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Hello, Eric. That's right. Solo showcase today. Ward is in Greece. He's a world traveler. I hope he made it to Greece. You know, sometimes Ward travels with some little funny stuff, and the airport people don't really like that. Hopefully he got to Greece okay. In fact, I know he got to Greece okay. He is devastated that he couldn't be here for this podcast, but as you will all find out why, we needed to get this podcast out. We are so happy to be able to do a podcast like this, and that will soon reveal itself. And I think you all will agree. But as always, we are powered by
CommunityCars.com, sponsor of the pod, Hoosier Hysterics. CommunityCars.com,
Hoosier Legends talk with Ward and Eric.
CommunityCars.com.
And fade out. Boom. Now look, this isn't going to be some full-blown podcast, because I don't have my partner in crime here, and you all don't want to hear that much from me, but I do have to talk about Community Cars, because if it weren't for Community Cars and our partners, we wouldn't be here. They allow us to do a lot of the stuff we do. We love Community Cars. I've bought my car from Community Cars. Holly's got her car from Community Cars. My ex-wife's going to get her car. Many of you have gotten your cars from Community Cars, and if you haven't, you're a jackass. You know that. But the biggest thing that Community Cars has to offer is that it doesn't matter how much money you have, they will find the right car for you. You tell them what your budget is, they're not going to haggle with you. There's not going to be, like at other places, you know how you have to go in and pretend like it's some mano-a-mano thing and who's going to get the best of who? You're not going to feel dirty like that if you go to Community Cars. You're going to tell them what your budget is. They're going to tell you what cars are in that budget, and they're going to show them to you. And then it's going to be hassle-free when it's time to buy the car. So do yourself a favor. Get your car from CommunityCars.com. All right. What do we got today? Well, we got NCAA tournament action coming up for the women against Fairfield. Saturday. Big game. The women hosting two games, hopefully. If they win the first, they host a second in Bloomington at Assembly Hall. These games should be sold out. These are NCAA tournament games for Mackenzie Holmes' last run as an Indiana Hoosier. Mackenzie Holmes, who has the first spot on Mount Rushmore of Indiana women's basketball history. She is the all-time leading scorer. She is the best post player we have ever seen. She is a leader. She's academically in great standing. She is a pillar of the community. She takes care of the fans. She cares about the fans. She cares about the name on the front of the jersey. She's a recruiter for us and has helped us land many players, including people like Sydney Parrish and Sarah Scalia, who transferred in large part to play with Mackenzie Holmes. Mackenzie Holmes deserves a Hoosier send-off worthy of her career. which means sold out. That's what it means. And we start our tournament run against Fairfield. Here's all I know about Fairfield. In 1987, the Indiana men's basketball team started their tournament run against Fairfield, and they won the damn title. So let's run it back. Let's do that. I am so excited to watch this game. I am not going to be able to make it to Bloomington. I actually have to travel to Las Vegas to do some work with my father. The timing sucks, but I will tell you this. I'm not going to be working during that time, and I'm going to be watching that game and losing my shit for Indiana women's basketball coming up this Saturday. All right. So, look, we haven't done a podcast since last week when we did our kind of post-mortem end of the season. Not going to do that anymore. Season's over. March Madness is upon us. And our March Madness, which I refer to as Portal Mania, starts now. But before Portal Mania happens, and look, we are out to some names already. The staff is casting a wide net. We're out to a bunch of guards. We're out to scorers, three-point shooters. I can get into some more of that later, and maybe I'll do a spaces on that. But this podcast, this specific episode, is before the portal becomes a factor, we have to know who is coming back to Indiana. And that's what today's episode is all about. So I will stop talking and let you listen to our guest today.
Here comes our guest. Here comes our guest.
Hailing from Miami, Florida, we are talking to a national champion with the Mount Verde Prep School, which we know a lot about. We are talking to a gentleman who made honorable mention All-American by Max Preps coming out of high school. We are talking to a gentleman who played in the Jordan Brand Classic. We are talking to a gentleman who was ranked 27th by 247, 22nd by ESPN, 25th by Rivals. He then, of course, committed to Indiana University, where his freshman year he played behind Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson before stepping up for a much bigger role this year. His production went through the roof, you should say, from freshman to sophomore year. He went from 6.1 points per game to 15.4. He went from 3.7 rebounds to 6. He went from 0.8 assists to 2.7. A very underappreciated part of his game is how good of a passer he became this year. Ladies and gentlemen, we are, of course, talking to one of our favorite people that we have met on this podcast, Malik Renew. Buddy, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right, you've got the gear on. You look like you're either like getting ready to be Batman or you just got done with like a high-tech workout. What is going on with you right now?
No, I'm currently inside of Cook Hall. I had just did a lift with Coach Cliff. So I just did an upper body lift with Coach Cliff, and I'm going to get on and get some shots on after this.
Now, Are you involved in do you fill out a bracket for March Madness? Or you do you care about the games going on?
I'm just a spectator. I'm not doing no brackets and none, unfortunately.
Do you watch the games?
Yeah, I was watching the Michigan State game earlier.
Got it.
Not too long ago. I don't know what how long it is, but it's about to be over soon or later.
Yeah, I think it's entering the second half as we're talking right now. All right, listen, we're gonna talk about the year. But before we do, let's get something out of the way. Malik, what are your plans for the next year of your collegiate career?
Yes. So next year, I will stay here and continue to play for Coach Woodson for year three of my college campaign.
Hold on. That's me lighting up a cigar. All right, I got to put it down because I'm inside and my girlfriend would go crazy if I smoked a cigar inside. All right, you are coming back to Indiana. You are not entering the transfer portal. You are not going to go through the draft stuff with the NBA. Is that all correct?
So, the not enter the portal is all correct, but I don't know if I still want to test the waters with the NBA stuff.
Okay.
So we're still questioning about that, but... Oh, well, I'm definitely coming back, though, for the year three, though.
So the NBA stuff is more about getting information and going through the process.
Yeah, getting information and the process and stuff.
All right. Malik?
I was going for. Yeah.
on behalf of Hoosier Nation, thank you. Yes. We have loved watching you progress from year one to year two, and we'll get into year two because there were some highs and there were some lows, of course. Yeah. And the biggest low, of course, is that you're talking to me right now and not playing in a basketball game right now. But let's talk about the decision to stay at Indiana. What, when you thought about your options as the season ended, and it just ended not that long ago, you know, about a week ago, what were the factors that went into you wanting to stay at Indiana and continue this job at IU?
Well, there was a lot of decisions going into it. I mean, we've been, me and my mom and my dad, been talking about either staying or entering the portal for a long time. But, I mean, I feel like it's unfinished business here. And like, I feel like we're gonna bring in the pieces that we need to ultimately compete for the Big Ten championship and get a Big Ten, and then hopefully go on and make a big run in the NCAA tournament and stuff like that. So I really think those were the big factors in me staying. Also, you know, the NIL, obviously, but that comes with it when you're playing well and you're doing good. So that was just the big stuff with me staying here.
What about just your affection for Indiana? Like, forget basketball for a second. Just the people that you've met, the campus, all that. What's your take on Indiana?
I mean, the relationships I build with the coaching staff, first and foremost, it's been through the roof. I mean, my teammates, unfortunately, some are leaving, but I built, you know, big relationships, especially with the people that are coming back, Gallo, Aunt Lil, on and off the court. So we have that type of chemistry together also. But it's just not only just the people that's inside the building that I see every day, it's also the fans too, even though we give some type of love and hate sometimes, it's still good to see the crowd come every night to Assembly Hall and watch us play and give us that confidence we need to go on runs when we're in the game and stuff like that. So I just love the fan base. I love it a lot. I mean, actually, the fan base is crazy. And it's also they're with us. They're on our side also. And they always fight for us, even though sometimes we have ups and downs throughout the season. They're always going to be there and show support.
When you made the decision to stay, how does that get communicated? Do you have a meeting with the coaches and tell them? And if you did, what was that like? What was their reaction?
It was like a lot of tension in the air with the meeting because you didn't know which way it was going to go. But, you know, we all sat down. It was a good hour and a half meeting of talking about the highs and the lows of the season, what I need to work on, what is stuff I need to improve on, whether it's conditioning wise or getting up shots or shooting the ball better, whatever it was, whatever they want me to work on. And then it was just a huge tension where my parents and I, we stepped outside and we talked it all over and talked it through. Then we decided on what we were going to do in that moment. And we told them we were going to stay. And then everybody was happy, relieved, a lot of hugs, a lot of thank you for coming back and stuff like that. So it was a good moment for us to know that the coaches are down the ride for me 100% and give me that trust on the court.
It's funny because when you committed to Indiana, the story is, of course, infamous outside of the restaurant where Woody went crazy. And now it's like because of the transfer portal and the reality of college basketball, you almost get to do a recommitment every year now. So you almost – did Woody jump into your arms this time like he did outside the restaurant, or was it a little bit more subdued?
No, it was a little bit of a relief hug.
Got it.
I was coming back, yeah.
A relief hug. So I want to talk about the season, but I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, them telling you what you need to work on and things that you know you need to work on. What are the big things that they've communicated to you and that you really want to attack this offseason heading into next season?
The main thing that we were talking about was consistency with the work ethic and stuff like that and just being dedicated to your craft and putting 100% in all the time. That was really my main focus too. Also being consistent, because that's I feel like that's the main thing with trying to get better is consistency. I mean, just putting in the work, the reps and all that stuff. And ultimately, seeing yourself put the ball in the basket all the time gives you that confidence on the court. In my head, in my opinion, that's what I feel like. But also, you know, my three-point shot, being able to get it up faster, quicker, shoot it with more confidence, and be able to take those shots and shoot two or three a game and know that there's not a possibility that it's going to miss, it's going to go in. So just working on those type of stuff. And the fouling situation, as usual, that's very key. That's what I'm very key on this year. Just to stand on the court part, and my teammates need me on the court. So that was a huge thing we talked about too, was the foul situation. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all I'm thinking of right now.
On the fouling thing, it's such a tricky thing because, look, yeah, you get some ticky-tack fouls that you don't deserve. And then some, I think, are just like little mental lapses here and there. What do you think, when you think about the fouls and you look back at the season now, is there something that you can pinpoint as to what you're doing wrong in those situations? Is there something that's consistent that you can work on there?
Trying to be ready before it even gets to the point where the ball is going to get to my man or in a position where I get to that predicament of fouling. So whether it's front in the post before he even gets there, or three-quarter in it, so it's harder for them to get the ball in so we can set up the appropriate defense to counter what they're about to do or stuff like that. So I think it's really just being a step of what's about to happen, and that comes with the film study and knowing their plays and knowing what's going on the court. And just being a step ahead of the play and making sure that you're in the right position, ready down, ready to play defense, and not trying to react instead of being proactive already, and not being a reactive player on the court. And once you see them move, you're moving. And then by that time, it's too late. You get those ticky-tack fouls or those fouls where it's questionable and you don't know if it's a foul or not, but they still call it a foul. So you get those type of calls. And that's what I got to avoid, and just being ready at all times, especially on the defensive side.
This was a tumultuous season for a lot of reasons. Obviously, the success on the court was not what anybody wanted. Xavier getting injured as much as he did, you know, really put a wrench into the works on what the plan was for this year. And also, you and your role, you know, changed dramatically from your freshman year. You became a primary guy, and in many games, the primary guy. Emotionally, how has this year been for you? How have you been able to kind of get through the low points of the season?
Just keeping my head up, knowing that every day is you coming in to play the game that you love. I think that was a key thing. What else? I mean, just knowing that you have teammates that's riding with you and doing the same thing. And I felt like we realized that towards the end, and that's when we went on our little win streak that we went on with the 16 win streak. We realized that, yeah, I mean, we're playing for each other basically at this point of the season. So it's when to go home at this point. So we started to develop and trusting each other even more. I think that's the key thing. Having that trust on and off the court, having that trust and relying on your teammate to know that he'll make the right move or the right choices on the court. I think that was key for our team, and especially towards the end, that really helped us win those key games going down the road. But I mean, it still got cut off short, unfortunately. But I think that was the key towards the end. But in the middle of the season, the ups and downs where we were losing at a high rate, it was just staying down and giving confidence to my teammates and telling them that it's okay. We're good. We're gonna, you know what I'm saying, next game we're gonna come out, be more strong, be more positive. have a better mindset towards coming in and stuff like that.
As I said, it was tumultuous, and you mentioned the fan base. We're crazy. We know we are. we love Indiana more than anything. We want nothing but success for Indiana and its players. And when things go wrong, we're vocal about that too.
Yeah.
And that noise bubbles up. You know, there were some times where I think there was some crowd noise at Assembly Hall. That's not what you would want at Assembly Hall. Obviously social media. Does that stuff make it to you? Do you hear that? Do you pay attention to that? And if so, how does it affect you?
I mean, it doesn't really affect me so much, but I feel like in other cases, I don't know how it is for other people, but those type of things do get to your head, whether you like it or not. I mean, because it's everywhere. It's splattered all over the social medias, the Twitter, X, you got Instagram and stuff like that. So you see it regardless if you don't want to see it or not, because we open up those type of apps. Those are what we're looking at. So you see those regardless. But, I mean, you just can't let it get to your head or nothing. I mean, I just brush it off my side and go along with it. So, you know, that's what I do. So I don't really let the Twitter, I keep playing my game regardless of who's criticizing me or not. I still play my game, but it could affect other people. And I won't say, who it affect or...
Sure, no.
Like,
right.
But these type of, the comments or the bad comments that you see on Twitter, X, and stuff like that, I don't really let that get to my head or nothing.
Another thing, obviously, the other side of the coin to the great news of you staying at Indiana is that some people choose not to. And obviously, there was news just yesterday and the last couple days about three of your teammates, Peyton, Caleb, and CJ, all leaving. I know you had a close relationship with them. What is that like going through that when you know these guys that you've built, you know, in the case of CJ and Caleb, guys that you came in with, that are part of your class, where there's always a special bond. What has that been like just dealing with the reality that they're going to leave?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in my case, just looking at it and looking through, just seeing it every day, I mean, I kind of had a feeling that was going to happen. So, you know, I was already preparing myself for that situation. And when it came, it's all love to my teammates. You know, I'm always going to keep in contact with CJ and KB regardless. But it's definitely hard to see them leave, especially when you came in with them.
Absolutely. Coaching staff, you talked about your relationship with them. Can you just kind of talk a little bit about how has your relationship with Woody grown since outside of the restaurant when you committed, a couple years back to what it is now? Obviously, when you're in a recruiting stage, the relationship is much different than when you're in the trenches with a coach. What is your relationship with him? How has it grown?
I mean, it's grown tremendously. I mean, because you could tell that it's grown when he's targeting you and he's yelling at you and getting on your case to perform better. That's how you know your relationship with your coach is getting better, because he wants you to do better. So in the cases like that, I mean, he wants me to perform well and go out there and perform at the highest and bring my teammates along with me, and that's what I'm going to do. And he's starting to build that trust in me with that. And that's how you know our relationship is getting better. And then off the court, it's always love, funny games, jokes, and stuff like that. And we don't let the heated battles on the court let that go into the off-the-court relationship. So that's what he does well.
Awesome. One of the new assistants or members of the coaching staff this year was Calbert Chaney.
Yes.
What is your relationship with Calbert? Has he been helpful to you? And what's your take on Calbert? Obviously, a Hoosier legend that we love. He's on Mount Rushmore of Hoosier history.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a huge help, especially with me, just helping me on the court or workouts, giving me advice, stuff like that. So he's been a huge help building my workout regimen and what I do on the court with the workout stuff standpoint and stuff like that, and my shooting and stuff like that. He helps me with all my skill work and stuff. Coach Hunter too, also, them too. But
those are those the two primary guys that work with you the most in practice and workouts, Calbert and Kenya?
Yeah, those are like the people I work out with when I'm doing my skill development or my skill training. And when we do like certain little breakouts with the bigs and the smalls and all the stuff like that. So those are the two guys I'm working out with most of the time with the scout and all that stuff. So, and then watching film with them and all that stuff. That's the one majority of the time with Coach Chaney or Coach Hunter or both of them at the same time. So they come together to help out all the little forwards and the bigs and all that stuff. So,
have you ever done a little bit of a 3-point shooting contest with Calbert Chaney?
We always doing little games. Like we always playing games and stuff like that. We do around the world we do that a lot. The shooting contest where you got to make a 3 from each spot. We do that a lot.
Wait. Who wins?
Coach Chaney hasn't been in it in a while, but when it was just the players, you know, I had won a couple. Khalil won.
Got
two
it.
In a row. He got two in a row, won two away games, and then and Walt. But I came out with like two of them too. So
all right. Do you think there. If you and Calbert went out and shot 50 3-pointers, who's going to win that battle?
I got me going with the left hand jumper, even though he's a lefty too. But you know, I got him just due to the rust. He got a brush off his shoulders. So,
that's
you know,
right. He's an old guy now. He's like me. Yeah. He's an old guy.
Yeah. So I got him in that case.
I want to ask you. You know, you said that when you guys went on that win streak at the end of the year, you started trusting each other more, playing for each other more. What, thinking back on the season, obviously it didn't go overall the way we all wanted it to, and the way you definitely wanted didn't go the way you wanted it to.
Yeah.
Can you put your finger on why it didn't come together earlier? Why did it take so long?
I don't want to blame any injuries or nothing, because we still were playing without X for the majority of the season. So I don't want to put the blame on injuries or anything like that. But we did have minor little ticks, like Khalil rolling his ankle for a couple games.
Sure.
Stuff like that. But also, I mean, it was the unfamiliar. I think it was just unfamiliar with the team. I mean, we just a lot of people were unpredictable, and we haven't seen it for a period. We've seen it for a short period of time within the 2 months that we've seen of what people were able to do, but we just weren't able to, you know, slowly collect it. I mean, because when you're playing those mid-major groups, you can get away with a few mistakes and stuff like that, and still bypass the win, or sometimes, or be in a tough predicament and still be able to come out with wins with those type of teams. But as you can see, when we got down to the top tier teams, when we play UConn, you could see the difference in the team and the trust in their teams, or especially early on. And that's what we got to build coming into this year, building that trust, that making sure you make that one more pass and not being selfish and saying that could probably be the case for me too. Sometimes I didn't pass the ball out of the post when I was supposed to, but that's something I have to work on too. So just being more trustworthy in your teammates is key in this game, man. And then when you have trust in your teammates, they'll make the right play and get you involved as well too. So that's what we really got to do in case.
When I look back at your season, it's a weird season for you, because your role changes immediately. You become a primary guy after last year being a bench guy and a role player. Mm-hmm. And then this year started where you're a primary weapon. And you started off the year great. 10 straight games to start the year in double figures. You scored 18 against UConn. Obviously, we weren't really in that game, but you started off great. Then Morehead State happened, which was a really tough game that we, it's one of those games, like you said, that we got away with. We won it at home, but you had foul trouble in that game and were really limited. Then you come back, though, after that game, and 8 of your next 9 games are in double digits, but even better. You've got games of 25-7 against North Alabama, 34-11 against Kennesaw State, 23-7 against Ohio State on the road in a big win, 28-8 against Wisconsin, 21-7 against Illinois. It seemed like you were rolling, and foul trouble really wasn't an issue. Then the Iowa game happens, and you get hurt in the Iowa game, right? You play just a few minutes.
I had sprained some ligaments in my foot.
All right, so this is what I want to talk about, because you come back right after that game. Like, you come back pretty quickly, and the rest of the season is when the foul trouble really came up. Like, you had 10 of 12 games where you had 4 or 5 fouls. I think you fouled out of 5 games. Were you 100% when you came back, or were you fighting through something?
No, I mean, I had minor tweaks and bruises and stuff like that throughout the season, but I won't say that was the case of me being foul prone and stuff. I was just
What do you think happened? Do you think something happened that changed for you in the last third of the season versus the first half, 2/3 of the season?
No, I just think it was just lack of awareness and being in bad positionings that would cause those fouls. And like I said earlier, I mean, I have to put myself in a better position when I'm on the court because teams are, you know, trying to target me and trying to get me those foul trouble themselves. So, you know, they're trying to target me. So it's hard. So my team is playing without me, and it's, you know, it's hard for me to stay on the court. So I have to just be aware of those, make sure I'm a step ahead of the game and being prepared for those type of situations and making sure, like I said, if they're trying to target me in the post, make sure I'm three-quartering or fronting so it's hard for them to get the ball in, or make it harder for them to get the ball so it's easier to set the defense up for me so I won't have to pick up those ticky-tacky fouls or those dumb fouls that I always pick up.
It seems like when you get the ball in the post, no one can stop you. I mean, it really does. It seems like if they call an offensive foul, that might stop you. But it seems like it doesn't matter how big the guy is. It doesn't matter how quick. It seems like you can get to your spots. You've got so many moves down low. When you get the ball down in the block, what does it feel like? Do you feel like you're Superman down there and no one can stop you?
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's I'm not getting doubled or they're not showing double as much, I can get to my spots way easier. I feel like I could take any person one-on-one to the paint. So
I love that.
When I'm one-on-one, I'm real confident in myself to be able to get to my sweet spots and my spots and trust in my abilities and my skills that I've been working on all my life. To hit those shots that I always hit constantly throughout my life. So, I mean, especially when it's one-on-one, when it's double-team, it's a different case because you don't know if they're going to come right away on the dribble from the low side, from the high side. They're coming from the nail or the soft spot. So it's just so many places that I got double-teamed from this year that it's surprising because it's like teams were really trying to cut me out of the game and make everybody else play. And it was hard for me to, you know what I'm saying, to get those to my sweet spots how I wanted to, especially when double team comes because it's a lot more aggressive. And there's two defenders now and it's not just one. So that's the unfortunate part about the double team.
What's your favorite move? What is your favorite move in a game? A guy's got you one-on-one. What is your favorite thing to do to a guy?
Depending on what side of the block I'm on, Is this like a post move or anything?
Yeah, sure. Okay, what's your fit? Because you've got so many. You've got obviously when you turn over your right shoulder, and you've got you added that little running hook this year.
Yeah, like, I did. I added like a little running hook. Khalil started catching the wave too, and some of my other teammates. But yeah, I mean, I like the running hook, but depending on when you use it, it's critical because, you know, you could be dead legged or sore. You're jumping off one leg, and you know you don't get that umph or something, but that you need to get over the rim. But now my favorite move got to be left hand hook, especially in the post, in the middle of the paint, left hand hook. Just all Swiss.
Yeah. I do like you also added a little bit more with your right hand this year. It looked like you going back to, you know, over your left shoulder and spinning back and putting it in with your right hand.
Yeah, especially when they're shading the right side so much. I sometimes had to use my right hand to get shots up and trusting my right hand to finish some layups. So And that's what I did. I mean, I felt like I did a pretty good job using my right hand this year. I could have used it more in certain situations, but I mean, overall, I still did a solid job using both my hands and showing that I can use both my hands, laying the ball up, using it with my dribble moves and stuff like that.
Let's talk about senior night. Trey and Anthony grab the mic and tell everybody they're coming back. Did you know that they were going to say that at senior day?
No, I was quite surprised. I thought it would have been like later on, probably after the Big Ten tournament, they would have said something about it. But I mean, I see, and that was pretty good and pretty special for them too, especially being from the state of Indiana, especially Aunt Lil being so close to Bloomington or being from Bloomington. And that is definitely special for the for them too, but also for us, knowing that we got some fifth year grads on our team and been through some solid, you know, solid games, especially Gallo and Antlil, them too. It's a great feeling to have them back, and it gives us more confidence in getting recruits coming in too, knowing that they got people to look up to.
So let's talk about that. You're in the middle of transfer portal season now. Are you doing? Are you already starting on recruiting? Are you?
But I should start locking in and helping helping out with recruiting wise, whether it's, you know, giving them a text or showing them a text and seeing what's up and seeing how people are doing and stuff like that, and seeing where their heads at and their mind space is at when it comes to recruiting. Especially with the kids that we want to bring in, or the group of guys that we want to bring in.
Have you guys, you and Anthony and Trey, have you at all talked about the fact that, look, you're going to need to bring in right now, it's probably like 6 or 7 guys.
Yeah.
You know, have you guys at all talked about how are we going to get a bunch of new guys in to what we do quickly so that you don't take as long to gel together? Have you guys at all talked about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the case every year. That was the case we were dealing with last year, especially the philosophy of defense that Coach Weston preaches. So
what'd you learn from last year where it didn't come together as quickly as you wanted it to put, you know, to change up for next year? What do you think you learned?
More teaching of the defensive principles early on. And getting that out the way before even, you know, working on anything else, because the defense is very critical, especially the way we play, to avoid a lot of certain things on the court. So we're covering the nail. We have a slide rim. You know, we do stuff like that. So that stuff's kind of hard if you don't know exactly what's going on. And what's happening on the backside as well as on the front side, you see a lot of miscues happening. But I felt like we did a solid job. And I keep going back towards the end of the season when we had that little stretch of the 6 games where we had solid defensive. We held that Penn State team that was scoring 80-plus a game to about 60-something or 70-something points. So we stopped them from scoring, especially in the Big Ten tournament. So, I mean, once we got a hang of it, it was kind of tough. I mean, when teams are making shots, though, it's kind of even harder. So that's what the case with Nebraska teams making shots and having an unbelievable start each game they played us. So.
Yeah, and look, that Tominaga kid. I mean, what the hell? What the hell?
Yeah, it was tough playing hell because the shots he shoot are crazy, and then they're going in, it just gives him even more confidence. So
the shot that he hit against McKenzie at the end of the half was just ridiculous.
Yeah, I told McKenzie, it's just a tough shot, bro. You can't do nothing about that, man.
So let's talk about McKenzie for a second. Obviously, a freshman that came in with a lot of hype, like you did, like your classmate Jalen did. And the year did not start off great for McKenzie, but he grew throughout the year and then became Big Ten Freshman of the Year by the end and was playing really high-level basketball. And now he has yet to make a decision on what's going to happen. There's a lot of thought that he'll go through the NBA process too. Do you just kind of let him do his thing? Do you try to convince him to come back? Come on, we got to run this. We got to get better. We got unfinished business. How does that work?
No, I mean, you know, I'm talking to him here and there. Throughout the days and throughout the stuff when I see him and stuff like that. And it's sometimes just letting him seeing what he's doing there and figuring it out on himself. I mean, of course we want him to come back and help us out and trying to compete for a Big Ten championship, stuff like that. But if that's not the case and he wants to test the stuff out and it's nothing we could do at that point. But I feel like if he's not going to go to the draft this year, he's gonna come back and help us and stay with Hoosier Nation. So,
all right, we'll love hearing that. What you've been here 2 years. Your first year, you went to the NCAA tournament, you win a game. You finished with 12 wins in the Big Ten. We finished, I think tied for second with a 3 seed because of the tie, but we didn't really compete for the Big Ten championship. Purdue was out ahead. Again, Purdue wins it this year. We didn't compete for the Big Ten championship at 10-10. Next year, your third year, what is success for you as a team? Not individually, but what would you consider a successful year next year? What's the goal next year for you at Indiana?
Obviously making it to the tournament and being in the tournament in March, that's going to be a big goal for us. And ultimately competing, because I feel like with the people that we're trying to bring in and the stuff that we're trying to do for next season, I feel like it's prime opportunity to compete for a Big Ten championship with a lot of people leaving on certain teams too. I feel like we have a great chance to win Big Ten tournament and try to win it outright throughout the season next year. So I feel really confident in what we're trying to do over here.
Let's talk about Bloomington. You've been there now 2 years. You're now going to be an upperclassman. Has your favorite food spot changed? What's your favorite food spot?
Oh, snap. Hey, favorite food spot. I'll say Uptown Cafe.
There you go. Do you have a meal that you get at Uptown?
Me, I get depending on if it's dinner or say for breakfast, I get the French toast.
Yes.
Bacon. With the home fries and the eggs on the side too. So I get one of those spreads.
All right. Now, are you, when it comes to like fast food, I know that we got Raising Cane's, we got Chick-fil-A, we got a lot of chicken places, we got Buffalo's, we got, what's the, like, if you want a fast, quick meal, where are you going?
Fast, quick meal?
Yeah.
Probably Buffalo's. I'll call it in right after practice. Probably shower and then head over there.
What's the order? Are you bone in or are you boneless?
I'm boneless. Probably get like.
That's kind of weak. I'm just going to be honest with you. Going boneless is weak, man. That's new school bullshit. That is some weak shit that you need to get over. You need to get the bone and eat it like a man.
Yeah, I get about 15 boneless, and then I
What
probably get
sauce? What sauce?
honey garlic,
Yeah, there we go.
and then I'll probably get like an all-American burger, just a burger. So it'll be,
With the wings, you get the wings and the burger?
yeah, so it'll be like the wings and then the burger, and then that's it. And then
Well,
I get a
Wilson,
drink with
what do you mean that that's it? That's a lot. Like, no, and that's
I
it.
mean,
Those are two full entrees, by the way. Those are, that's
after
big.
A solid 3.5, that mean that's not that
That's true. You need the protein. And I will say the Buffalo's burger is very, as the kids say, it's slept on. People sleep on the burger at Buffalo's. Would you agree with me there?
I agree totally.
Now, what
People,
about
because people, a
pizza?
lot of people are talking about the wings and stuff,
Yeah.
but the burger options that they have are pretty solid.
And pizza? Are you a pizza guy at all, or do you have to stay away from pizza?
I really don't eat too much pizza though.
All right. Well, that's good. That's smart. That's smart. All right. What is the schedule for you over the next? Obviously, you still have school that you have to complete. Does the team work out together at this time of the year, or is it all individual stuff?
Right now it's individual stuff, but I think starting I don't know the date, but I think we're about to start up as a group soon. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, but we're about to start up as a group soon, in like a couple of weeks, but right now it's been individual, getting in your shots. Whatever time you come in, you probably pick up a manager, try to get like somebody to help you work out and get your skill work in yourself, and you lift with Coach Cliff whenever you get a chance, because he's here all the time, so he'll lift you good 30, 45 minute lift in real quick,
You
get
see,
your arms pumped and stuff like that.
what's the new crazy shit that Cliff's having you guys do? Because I don't know if it's like holding a jug of water over your head while balancing on a
No.
tire, like he taking you out to the sand and making you work out like it's Beach Bloomington. What's the crazy thing he's got you doing now?
Nice. He's been having us. Today I did something crazy. Actually, he put like two resistant bands like right below my knees, and then squatted down, and then I had to hold it for like 60 seconds. It's supposed to isolate the quads and give it a mean burnish, and like it, yeah, the quads just burning on
Are
fire.
you starting to shake at the end of those 60 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, you start shaking as soon as you get into the squat position, and then
Yeah.
you're just holding it there. It starts to burn instantly, and then it starts shaking and stuff. But it's a great iso hold on the quads. So,
All right, so that you'll start with some team workouts probably before the end of the school year. Then what happens? Are you going to go back to Florida? Are you going somewhere else to train? Like, what's the deal?
That's what I'm working on right now. So whether I'm gonna head out to Cali and go work out over
Hey,
there, or
you want me to work you out? Is that what you're coming out for? Ward and I'll get a gym. We'll work you out. We'll put some resistance bands on you.
and then or staying at Andy and working out here. So I'm still working on that fact of what my summer is going to consist of if I'm going somewhere to work out or something.
Let's talk a little bit about the fact that two of your teammates from last year are in very different places in the NBA. Obviously, Jaylen, drafted by the Lakers, started the season with some injuries, then was on the Lakers roster for a while, then back and forth to the G League and has been tearing it up in the G League. And then, of course, Trace, who goes to the Warriors and has just been unbelievable. I mean, like, people have just been raving about Trace. What's it been like to see two of your former teammates at the place that you want to go? What's it been like? Do you guys watch the games together when you can, like with your teammates? Tell us what that's been
I
like.
mean we yeah we I mean you try to tune in, but they're on the West Coast, so their game's kind of late sometimes.
Yeah, it's
But
true.
my roommate, he a huge Laker fan, so I tune into the Laker games all the time.
Who's your roommate?
RJ, he one of the managers. He loved the
Okay.
Lakers, so yeah, we've been watching Lakers a lot this year. And then yeah, I mean, just seeing them all the time, especially when you see the little clips or the little highlights of them doing or having their little success in the league, it helps us a lot. Down here. And then I mean, It gives us confidence to know that, well, I played against this guy. I practiced with this guy every day, and I seen him do it every day. And then it's just, a matter of fact of putting in the work and trying to get there and hopefully play against him one day or play with him again. So that's the type of mindset that they give us when you're watching those type of games.
Now, come on. When you saw the highlight of Trace dunking on Wemby.
Dunking Wemby.
Come on. Well, two things, right? Blocking the Greek Freak twice. Yeah. Awesome. But dunking on Wemby. Come on. Yeah. What was your take on that?
I seen it coming. You could see it in his face when he faked the handoff.
Yeah.
You knew he was about to dunk that one. And then the ball grip to the side. Yeah, he was dunking that one regardless.
Now, do you when you see that, do you text him? Do you like, hey man, like what?
Nah,
do you
bro,
do?
I mean, I'm tuned in there, or you got like snaps and stuff that we trolling on and stuff like that. So
got it. So you're figuring out the training regimen, whether it's there locally or maybe coming out to California. Then back in June, I assume when the summer
back
season
in June
starts.
When the summer, yeah.
How are your classes? Yeah, any terrible classes?
Nah, no terrible classes. I mean, I have a great schedule right now. Only got one class or something like that. One class that I have to attend, and then the rest are online and classes.
What's the class that you have to attend?
Community health.
What is that? What is community health?
It's in Ballantyne's hall. You probably know.
I know Ballantyne, but what are you learning in community health? Give me one thing that you've learned in community health. Give me one.
Oh, I just sit there, get attendance, do my thing. And then when an assignment pops up, do it. That's a cut. That's a cut. We're cutting that one out.
Oh man, we are not taking that out. That is good.
My mom's gonna get mad at me.
No. Again, thanks for doing this. We are so happy that you are coming back. You're a big piece of the puzzle, obviously, but also we just love you. You're great for Indiana. You're a great Hoosier. You work your ass off. I know that things have not gone from a team perspective the way that you wanted them to this year, and obviously the end of that year, of this last year, seemed really frustrating for you. In fact, I do want to just touch on that. The last image of you this year is falling out of the game and looking really upset, like really emotionally upset. Can you just walk me through kind of what was going through your head? Was it everything about the year just kind of crashing down on you?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like a little flashback of the season and how it went, and then realizing that it was over. That was pretty much it.
I do have to ask you about the fifth foul at the end of that one game. I got to ask you about it.
Yeah.
What happened?
Are you talking about the Wisconsin one?
Yeah. What happened there?
Well, all right. So in the situation that we're in, I just scored the...
You scored the win. By the way, I want to point this out. You scored the winning bucket.
Yeah.
You scored the winning bucket. So I want people to realize that if it weren't for you, we probably don't win that game.
Yeah.
And you
so
had a
I,
great
I,
game.
I so finished so I scored a bucket at the... and the clock's going down. The coach is screaming like towards us, but it looks like he's like looking dead at me.
Sure.
But he's like, we got fouls to give. But I can't hear because it's so loud. The crowd just went insane because I just had put the ball in the basket for the 2 points to go up. So the crowd's going insane. So all I think I hear is foul him. Like, because all I heard was foul.
Right. So you thought your coaches were directing you to do so.
No, but he was saying that we have fouls to give in the situation where we could stop the ball and they give them, like, set up our defense. So
sure.
In that case, and then because I knew I had the four fouls, but in my head, I'm like, Coach, why are you telling us foul? Like, all I had was foul. So that was, it was just a brain fart at the time. And I.
Fair enough. Now,
but
the
we
fact
ended up
that
coming
we,
in secure in that one. So.
Yeah, we win the game. So because we win the game, in the locker room, do they just bust your balls for it?
Yeah, they clown me so bad. I got clowned bad. But yeah.
But you just take it in stride. It's okay. It just rolls off your back.
Yeah. It was a big relief we won, though. If we would have lost, they would have definitely blamed that on me.
Yeah, that would have been bad. That would have been bad news. Yeah. All right, Malik, love you, man. Love your family. Thank have you gotten so to know your parents and love so your much. Whole family. And love that you're coming back for another year because, like you said, there is unfinished business. Yes. This is what this last year is not what Indiana basketball is supposed to be. And you got a little taste of it your freshman year, but now you're going to be part of the group that leads us back this next year. We need you. We are so glad you're coming back on behalf of Hoosier Nation. Thank you. Yes, and also, just stop following. Just stop following. Yeah. If you stop following, everything's good.
Yep. That's pretty much simple as it is. Just stop following me. That's all you gotta say.
We know it's a lot harder than that. Malik, you always take things with good spirit, man. I love your energy and what you mean to this program. And again, I'm just really happy that you're coming back. And I know that that the way this last year ended is going to drive you to be even better. So welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Take care, man.
Thank you.
That was our guest.
I mean, how can you not love him? Look, I know this season didn't go the way we all wanted it to. I know that we wanted more wins. I know that we wanted a better brand of offense. I know that we just wanted more, and we should have more. This program with its resources should absolutely have more. But in the end, it's about these kids, and Malik Renew is doing everything he can to be the best basketball player he can be. And he's got stuff to work on. And you hear the humility in his voice. On one hand, he knows that if he gets it in the post in a one-on-one, ain't nobody stopping him because he's a beast. He's just a tank down there. Or as again, as the kids say, he's a unit down there. And he just crushes it. By the way, I do realize that if Ward were on this podcast, I did at one point say to Malik, what's your favorite thing to do to a guy? I shouldn't have said that. That was a bad phrase. I think you all know what I meant. But I love Malik. I love his energy. And look, if we're going to be competitive at all next year, Malik needs to have a huge year. He needs to expand his game like he did from freshman to sophomore year. So I love him. I'm not going to take up your time talking more. Big news breaking here. Hoosier Hysterics. Malik Renew coming back for another year at Indiana University. We love it. We're happy that it's happening. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics. No E, no I, but the sometimes why. Did it all by myself and went much smoother. We'll see you next time.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.